So I wanted to thank everybody for being a part of We Are Libertarians, and one of my goals this year is to make it a little more social and do some of these things more regularly and get people together. And the main reason was also Stone was coming up from Georgia and I had to do something with him. He didn't want to sit in my apartment all day apparently and just watch TV.
And close the door so the cats don't freeze.
We left last night, and when I went to pick him up, I had the door open because it was warm in there, and then I left it open for about 5 hours, and it was 59 degrees, so he believed Harry was right. So we're not taking We Are Libertarians in a different direction, but we're doing a lot of what we've always done, and I wanted to articulate that a little bit, and I'm recording this for the other co-hosts who aren't here, people like Sarah in North Carolina and Hody in Utah and everybody. But I wanted to articulate some of the goals and get a bunch of people together. And I really see what we're doing, it's unique in the libertarian movement because we're explaining politics to normal people in the way that they talk. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's Dennis, and then there's normal people like you, Heather. Right. So, and by that I mean, I think that a lot of libertarian media tries to cater to libertarians, and I don't want us to do shows that cater to libertarians. It's not that we don't love our libertarian friends, but we want to reach people who are interested in politics. We have a friend, Caitlin, for instance, and Hannah and I were talking yesterday about Caitlin, and she today asked, why do we have a progressive sales tax? Or a progressive tax? You know, Caitlin's somebody who is moderately interested in politics, wants quick information, but probably won't listen to a 3-hour podcast, but she wants a place to, like, understand what's going on real quickly. So one of the goals is to shorten the length of the show this year, and it was one of the reasons that we started the daily. You know, what I learned at the podcast movement in Philadelphia was when you take a long show. NPR took their 2-hour blocks from their daily shows like Brian Lehrer and some of these at the Takeaway, and they put it into 20-minute chunks. And they tripled their downloads. And it's because people found the information to be more accessible. And so part of the reason that we started the daily was something that Harry had come up with a year before. Harry said, why don't we have more voices on the network? Because as a contributor, I have a lot that I want to say, but I don't necessarily get it into the 2 to 4 hours a week that you're putting out. And he was exactly right. So the dailies are an attempt to give more people a voice, because another lesson that Harry taught me, when Harry started doing the show regularly, I found a lot of people who were like Harry and into waifus started popping up in a place like Discord. And Harry appeals to a group of people that I don't quite understand myself, but I like. And I want We Are Libertarians to really be a point where people can start to gather community. I don't see this as a vehicle to promote myself. I'm not here to be famous. I'm here to build something that really is relevant to people and that people can use to build friendships and build community with each other. You know, Harry has made the point that the Discord has given him a bunch of new people that he can play video games with and talk with. And I think you may have mentioned the same thing as well, Paul. That's really the mission of We Are Libertarians. Our main goal is to be relevant, and relevant to people who are not already libertarians, to people who want to understand what's going on. And I've asked you guys here because somebody like Nick has said, I want to get involved on the dailies, I want to get involved in the show, and so wanted to, you know, meet Nick. I've never met Nick. It's sort of weird to have your first conversation be on the podcast. Or Joe said, hey, I'm willing to help. I want to be our resident boomer. And, you know, so he may have questions. So that's part of this. And I want to say to anybody in the room, if there's an idea that you have, just do it. Part of what I want to say in 2019 is, if you have an idea, if you want to start a Liberty and Chill, just do it. Don't wait for me to send you graphics. Don't let me bottleneck things. If you have an idea for a show, do it. You know, once you kind of figure out your wings, like, Dennis is free to do, he understands the process to do a daily show. He's free to do a show about whatever he wants. You know, I mentioned Sarah, and Sarah and Dennis are a great example there in our group chat of co-hosts. There's a lot of times where it's me and Tad are on the opposite sides of Sarah and Dennis, but who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
We never argue.
But I want that. I want that kind of discussion because I want. One of the main principles of this group is that you treat everybody with dignity and respect. And you have to start with that as a guiding principle. Dennis and Tad can be on the opposite side of issues but can still sit at a table and have a meal. I had a 3-hour lunch the other day with a Bernie progressive who wants socialized medicine, who works for OSHA. And my dad runs a construction cleanup company. And we walked away friends, and he's going to come on the show and talk. And that's one of the things that we need to be leaders in our community on. It's reaching out to other people and building relationships with each other. You know, I want Dennis to talk about whatever Dennis wants to talk about, even if I may disagree with whatever he's saying, because Dennis may connect with a listener in a way that I might not. You know, the women on the network, I think they're, We're Libertarians has more female interaction in our Facebook group than any other outlet, and I'm very proud of that because I want it to be a safe place for women to talk about issues that men may not care about, that libertarian may not care about, and not be creeps. And I don't want a bunch of creeps in our groups, and I don't want a bunch of negging and all this stuff that women really deal with when they're in the libertarian movement. And any guy that's rolling their eyes that is listening to this, I feel free to talk
you're
to...
You're the perpetrator.
You're the perpetrator, because feel free to talk to any libertarian female, and they'll tell you that it can be very uncomfortable to have an opinion in this movement, and I hate that, and I want us to be leaders in making sure that women have a strong voice. So if our main goal is to be relevant, then there's a few ways to achieve that. How do we achieve that? First, you know, what are the needs of the average American? I don't think libertarians have any answer for healthcare. You know, we have a lot of answers for things that people don't care about. We have a lot of answers on monetary policy, but we don't have a lot of answers on things like healthcare, the number one issue in America. You did. And that's a great example of the kind of content that we need. You know, we have to speak to what the people on the other side of this door want. And as the first to really start to do that, I think we can inspire other people within the movement to start talking about the issues that people care about. People want to understand politics, culture, society without being manipulated. We're here to give you information. We're not here to convince you to be part of the group. We're here to convince you through good arguments. People want to know what's important instead of what's popular. This is something that we talked a lot about last night at Liberty and Chill. There's far too many people in the movement and in politics and the media who want to be popular instead of talking about what people find important. And sometimes talking about what is important isn't popular. You know, watching John Adams over the last week when he was president, he was trying to keep people out of war. That went directly against his party and Alexander Hamilton, who was trying to use war to grow the size of the central government, and he lost his election because of it. And so sometimes being trying to do what's important, what's right and principled isn't popular. I think taxation is theft is very popular as a statement. That doesn't mean anything to anybody who isn't in this room. That is a catchphrase, that is a meme that means nothing to people who don't understand what we have spent 10 years trying to understand. And it's a fundamentally unimportant thing to a person who's trying to understand what's going on. It's not that it's wrong, it's just not relevant. People want to be less lonely. And this is something that I really, this is a newer aspect. I want to do more things like this here in Indianapolis. I want to maybe have 10 Liberty and Chills. I think that's my goal for 2019. I think Atlanta's possible and some other areas, Texas, a couple places in Texas. People want connection and human connection. And I think as a movement, we have to build not only to help grow the podcast, but also to connect people to the values that I'm talking about. You know, something like a dinner like this where you're getting to talk to people face to face about Garth Brooks being a serial killer, or do you think the Russians are really, you know, and so these various conversations, this is a way for people to connect, and it's something to do, and it's not sitting at home on a Saturday night, week after week after week. I'm not, I didn't mean to look at you, Tad. Tad's actually very active.
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, so Paul, right. And I think libertarians are very bad about socializing. And very bad at socializing. And I think the more we do it, the better we'll get at it. I've been spending a lot of time with Republicans and Democrats over my break. They look you in the eye. They speak to you by looking you in the eye and engaging with you. Libertarians wait for you to finish talking so they can then make their point. And so, you know, I took Stone around Indianapolis and we went to the Indiana War Memorial, the museum in the big Pershing building. It's beautiful. And he's like, wow, this is beautiful. And I took someone there in the summer, our friend Christina, and she goes, how did something like this get built? Well, 100 years ago, you had social clubs. But you had social clubs of networks of people who went on a Wednesday night to a local clubhouse to meet with others. And when time came to do something for society, to raise money for an individual who had a health need, they had the networks available to really affect change. And libertarians, if we're ever going to actually change society, we need to have physical networks of people, because an agora society depends on it. You know, the poor will not go away in an anarcho-capitalist society. So if we're going to talk purity, we have to actually live out the values that are going to be dependent on a libertarian society, regardless of what libertarian view you are. So, people want to solve society's problems, and how do they get involved? Well, we have to model that. And things like Liberty and Chill are a very small step, but it's a place for people to plug in and start to network with people in their communities and start to change things. So how do we achieve all this? We start by treating people with dignity and respect, like I said. You know, we are a group of libertarians that respect the right of any libertarian to to talk about their views or to act out their activism in whatever way they want. And I know that, and we all know how it feels when somebody isn't of that same value. You know, the black and yellow guy who tells Dennis that he's a communist just because he doesn't believe a certain way. That's not how we should act. And we have to be leaders by acting a different way. We have to seek to understand, we have to listen. We have to stop talking as much and start listening to people and understanding what our friends and family actually want, instead of giving them and outlining the 15 ways that we change the Fed and we remove this taxation. I'm guilty of it as much as anybody, but you know, understanding the condition of people. We have no idea the amount of poverty that is around us at all times, and the actual fear and anger that is just around us on a daily basis. You know, Glenn Beck, he went and paid off a Walmart layaway plan in this suburban Dallas region. It's a very wealthy area. And this woman came in and said, I had $72 left to pay and I have to cancel my layaway. I've laid up three nights trying to figure out how to get $72 for my first grandchild's first Christmas present. This is an area where a person should be able to find $72 over a four-day period. They can't afford it. And libertarians talk about what we like. And we have to start talking about poor people, the middle class. You know, someone yesterday on my Instagram, she said, I like Elizabeth Warren because she talks about the middle class. It's a middle class person who's looking for solutions for their life. They want relevant arguments and information. And we have to stop talking about what we think is relevant and what other people think is relevant. We have to be good neighbors. I think that's self-explanatory. We live by the golden rule. We have to be good citizens. This is where Mike starts shaking as the ANCAP. You know, government exists, and I'm all for us starting to go to city council meetings, town council meetings, zoning board meetings. The reason that I met with this socialist Democrat, he wasn't a socialist, but he really loved Barack Obama and Bernie Sanders and some of their plans. He served on his zoning board in Greenwood. And by serving on the zoning board, he's become a fan of property rights because he sees how the government acts. And so by being engaged in the community, this is a person who I think we could convert in a year or two. And lastly, seeking out principles over popularity. So if you're interested in doing daily episodes, if you're interested in participating as a co-host, a writer, an organizer, because you know a lot of, you're good at event planning, you want to co-host a show, if you want to start a new group, whatever you think may be of value to your community and the libertarian community, use my platform to do it. Run it by me so I am aware or I can promote it, but don't wait to ask me for permission. You know, I'm really pushing value for value this year because I get a lot of value out of this. A lot more than monetary. I get intellectual stimulation, I get friendship, I get dates. Stone. Not with Stone, but I'm saying
Sting. Now the road
that explains so much.
He slept on the pullout couch last night.
But did you pull out?
That was... You're all filthy. So, and the more people participate in We Are Libertarians, the more value they get out of it. You go, wow, it must be a lot of time to do a podcast or to participate in a weekly show with Hody. And yeah, it is, but you get a lot out of it. You know, you get connection with other people. You get, you know, even people who donate, and that's the only thing that they do. They get value in seeing this network flourish. So, I don't know if we want to open it up for discussion or you just want to eat your food and ignore me, but I just wanted to say, and to the other co-hosts listening at home, like, this is really what I'm pushing this year. Build community. Let's unite the different clans of libertarianism through polite conversation and appeal to regular people by talking about the things that they care about. So if you have ideas, run them by me. I'm all ears, and I just want to thank you guys for being a part of We Are Libertarians and contributing to it, or those who want to contribute, or those who host shows, like Tad, and Christy, who is a $100 a month patron. So thanks, everybody.